What the hell was that?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah, yeah. Are you there?
We gotta get rid of this kook. I got an idea.
Greatness at its finest.
Welcome to the Rodcast.
Wonder who that could be.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260.
Come on, why you want to play a brother like that?
And hornfm.com.
Is there a problem back there?
Where the Longhorns play and Austin talks sports.
Welcome back to the Rodcast. We like to call it a freak flag, feel good, fake it till you make it. A football Friday night lights, Ric Flair, woo! State woo! Fair Street Fight Friday edition of the Rodcast. I got some of my folks over here wooing with me. I like that. Gotta get that Ric Flair. Woo! It feels good. I'll tell people, that's why Ric Flair, if Ric Flair wasn't the greatest, Mount Rushmore greatest wrestler of all time, he would have been either a Baptist preacher, like one of those preachers that go like Joel Osteen. He'd have been awesome. He'd been way better than Joel Osteen, by the way. Or he'd have been a motivational speaker, like that other guy. The famous guy. He'd have been one of those guys because he's great. Anytime I'm feeling down about myself and I need to get pumped up, I just go to YouTube and I listen to go watch a Ric Flair wrestling promo, and then I'm ready to go. As a matter of fact, I was doing an interview with Dennis Della Pena from Fox. And it's on my Twitter handle right now. You can go check it out on my Twitter page, at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. And in the interview, my girlfriend, she criticizes all of my interviews on TV. She says, why do you keep bouncing back and forth? Because I can't stop moving. We're talking about Texas A&M, and I can't stop moving. I'm bouncing back and forth. She's like, you should stop moving. You're bouncing back and forth. Basically, I looked like I was cutting a WWE promo. Like, I was like, oh, yeah. And I'm going to get to tell you, brother. It's, you know what I mean? Like, I looked like I was – and it's because it's Texas OU. I was like, baby, it's Texas OU week. I can't stop myself from moving, getting pumped up, getting ready to go. I feel like I'm ready to play. I heard Quan Cosby say it Tuesday. Quan said he was out at practice. I saw Quan at the – by the way, the celebrity Texas OU softball game. Man, it wasn't good for Texas. We were down, I think, 8-5 when the game was suspended due to weather in the fifth inning. And they had a bunch of home runs. They had like three. Was it more than that, Joe? Was it? I thought I had eight. Was it more than that?
14.
14?
14 to 8.
Oh, 14 to 8? Damn, was it that bad? It was in the fifth inning, right? Was it suspended in the fifth?
Yeah.
No. Oh, you came to play. Hopefully that is not a bad omen. If the Minister of Culture, Matthew McConaughey, gets wind of that, he's probably going to be very upset. He did not play in the game this year, but played in the game last year. Mac Brown played in the game last – oh, sorry, it was the coach in the game last year. Wasn't the coach this year because he's doing big things at North Carolina. But hopefully that's not a bad omen. Last year we did win that celebrity softball game between the old heads of Texas OU. But I was talking to Quan Cosby out there, and he said he was at practice – and talking to Nathan Vasher, my man Nasty Nate, old school. I played football with Nasty Nate, one of the legendary Lifetime Longhorns. And Nate said, man, I can't stop sweating out here at practice. I got to calm down. your body remembers playing in this game around this time. And for me, it was always around my birthday. I would either play on my birthday or the weekend of my birthday, like, because I was always October 6th to early October. And I would usually end up playing like around my birthday or summer. So it was, man, it was just so many emotions like thrown into the mix of the storylines for the game. So even as an old guy, almost 40 years old, I still feel it. I still get like, you know what I mean? I get these, you know what I mean? I get these kind of old school feelings and emotions about the game and around the game. Always a beautiful thing. But Texas is an underdog, a big underdog in this game. And I still don't understand why. Right, since 2013, Oklahoma hasn't covered single-digit favorite or double-digit favorite, yet Vegas has them started as a 10-point underdog. I believe now they're 11.5. Some books have it at 12, have Oklahoma as a 12-point favorite in the game. Now, we all know Tom Herman loves being the underdog. Here's one of my reasons why I'm picking Texas, right? Tom Herman as the underdog, that's too easy. Since 2015, since his time as a head coach, he's 13-3-1 as an underdog with 10 outright wins as an underdog, 10-7 straight up. He's 18-3 since 2012 as an OC or a head coach against the spread, but he has 15 outright wins, three losses by 5 points or less since 2012 as an OCR head coach. So that's 18-3 against the spread as an underdog since 2012. He is 13-3-1 since 2015 against the spread as an underdog with 10 outright wins. Since 2011, go back even further. The man's got some good luck. Tom Herman's teams are 24-3 against the spread as an underdog. So it's as a two-possession favorite, how about this number? When he's actually a two-possession favorite, maybe 14 points. He's 23-5 straight up, but 18-1 against the spread as a heavy favorite. He's not that great as a heavy favorite. I don't think Texas covered versus West Virginia in some of the books, depending on the line you got. But as an underdog, he's money in the bank. He's mastered the underdog philosophy. Maybe because his entire life he's considered himself an underdog. Maybe because his time at Iowa State as an underdog, at Tom Herman's time at U of H, whatever. But he embraces that role. So usually I don't give betting advice on the show because I don't want somebody to bet some money and lose money. Me, even though I will say in those we do some picks like the we do picks every week on the show. And Supreme Lending picks, I am leading the picks. I don't brag about stuff like that because that ain't really what I do, but I am leading the picks. I mean, of course I'm leading the picks. Who does more research than me on this damn station, all right? I should be. If I'm not leading the picks, then you know what? I'm wasting a lot of my time. And I'm telling you, I'd put money on Tom Herman as an underdog in this game. And not that they're going to win. I don't know who's going to win. I think Texas will win. We'll get into why I think that's the case. But they're definitely going to keep it within 10 points. Are you serious? There's no way OU's going to win. I would be flabbergasted, and I don't use that word a lot as a black man. I would be flabbergasted if Texas loses by double digits to Oklahoma. They can lose, but double digits? When was the last time that happened, especially in the Tom Herman era with Sam Ehlinger at the helm? I just don't see it. All right? Like I said, flabbergasted. Yeah, doesn't happen a lot. I'm going to use it. Matter of fact, it might be the word of the day. Flabbergasted. Love that word. It's a good word. Okay, let's talk about the matchup a little bit, Texas OU. Third down's going to be big. Third down's going to be huge. It's always big in football, but it's going to be bigger in this game. Oklahoma is the number 5 third down defense in all of college football, allowing teams to convert at a rate of only less than 25%. Texas is the number 2 ranked third down offense in the country. Number 2 versus number 5. All right? Immovable object versus the unstoppable force, all that. Here's the kicker, though. Sam Ehlinger, damn, he's good. He's one of 7 quarterbacks in all of college football completing more than 50% of their third down passes. We talked about Joe Burrow being the best quarterback in college football right now. Sam Ehlinger is completing third down passes at a higher rate than Joe Burrow. 58% of his third down passes he's completing, which leads the country, by the way. Joe Burrow at 52%. He's tied with Tua Tagovailoa and Justin Fields. It's an elite category. Versus West Virginia, Sam actually underachieved on third down. Texas was 10 of 18 on third down, but Sam passed the ball 14 of 18 times on third down, and he was 6 of 14. Only 43% completion rate or conversion rate. But if you look at the times he actually ran the ball on first down and on third down and was able to convert to a first down and throw those into the mix, he was actually 9 of 17 converting third downs at 53% clip. So Sam is a runner. You got to use him in those third down situations. And he'll do it himself because he'll scramble. But that's going to be big in the game. By the way, Oklahoma, great stat. They only face third down on 15% of their downs. They don't even see third down a lot. They don't even see it. It's like, whatever, man. We got first and second. We just got explosive plays. Boom. They keep it moving. So they don't even see third down a lot. But when they do see it, Texas defense needs to show up. But the Oklahoma defense really good on third down. They're elite in that category. Red zone defense is also going to be big. Red zone defense, red zone offense. And, Texas has 18 red zone possessions so far this year, and they've scored 16 touchdowns, zero field goals. The only two times Texas was stopped in the red zone this year, LSU. Right? LSU stopped them twice. Well, they stopped themselves. But, you know, the drop pass, the only two times Texas has not scored touchdowns in the red zone this year is when LSU stopped them on the goal line. Honestly, if they get one of those touchdown opportunities in the red zone, they probably win the game. Or there's a good chance they win the game. And they did that, honestly, when you got Bam Bam Sam, a guy last year who, you know, who was able to convert I think last year on third and three or less, Sam converted 69% of the time he carried the ball when it was at third and three or less. On the goal line, he's supposed to be money in the bank, and they weren't against LSU, and you could argue that's why Texas came up short in that game. So Texas right now, if you look at it, they're the number – if you look at their like red zone touchdown percentage, they're number three in the country. They're the third best team in terms of scoring touchdowns in the red zone when they get there. Best in the Power Five. Oklahoma's like number 20. But they rely on a lot of explosive plays when they get to the red zone. Different story. Then I mean, obviously, but they're still probably the most explosive offense currently in the country. Texas defensive touchdown percentage. Texas defense is around 55th, allowing teams to score touchdowns 60% of the time in the red zone. Oklahoma is right around there, too, at 58.3. So they're allowing 49th. So red zone defense, if you can keep either of these teams to field goals, that's a win. That's why we're looking at touchdown percentage. And how about this? I gave you this stat last week about Sam Mellinger in the red zone throwing the ball on first down. I've talked to you about first down passing, the most successful passing down in all of football. Texas throws the ball on first down in the red zone 75% of the time. They throw the ball on first down, period, only 56% of the time. When they get in the red zone and it's first down, they're going to throw it. Against West Virginia, there were three first downs in the red zone. All of them were passes. One of them was a Sam Cosmi throwback pass, which ended up being counted as a rush. But y'all saw it with your own eyes. Basically a Sam Mellinger pass. One was incomplete, and the other was a John Burt touchdown pass. Every time they get in the red zone, pretty much, first down, they're going to throw it. Which I think is them breaking tendency, because last year, when Texas got in the red zone with Bam Bam Sam, what'd they do? They ran. So every team, when Texas gets in the red zone, they're like, all right, they're going to run Sam. They're going to run this guy. Let's get ready to stop the run. And then Texas breaks tendency in the red zone. Now I wonder if Oklahoma will catch on to that. But here's a great stat. Texas quarterbacks, when Texas throws on first down in the red zone, completing 83% of those passes. So when they throw first down in the red zone, Sam or even Casey Thompson completing 83% of their passes. If you look at just Sam Ellinger right now, he's completing 80% of his first down passes in the red zone. And his pass rate right now, when he is in the red zone on first down, is 78%. So they're throwing it 78% of the time when Sam's the starting quarterback, first down in the red zone, and completing 80% of those. And here's even a better number. If you look at his completions, 9 of his 12 completions on first down in the red zone have gone for a first down or a touchdown. Like that, it's unbelievably effective and efficient. But Sam has been, I said last year, was the best red zone quarterback in the country. I think now he may be among the best third down quarterbacks in the country too. 62% of all Sam Ellinger's touchdowns in his career have come in the red zone. Like 62% of all of his touchdowns have come in the red zone. Last year, 59% of his 41 touchdowns came in the red zone via rushing or throwing. And that gets me to, I think, another big like factor in this game, the dual threat quarterbacks. Jalen Hurts is currently the best dual threat quarterback in the country. 30% of his runs come on designed runs, and he is leading the country in rushing yards on designed runs. I think right now he's got 300 rush yards on design runs alone. 499 total rushing yards. He's leading the Oklahoma Sooners in rushing yards. And 30% of his of the rushes from the Sooners have gone for 10-plus yards. So it's an explosive running game, which involves Jalen Hurts as the plus one. They use a lot of counters, counter GT, trade counter, a lot of inside zone. And right now, the rushing game for the Oklahoma Sooners, it's the most effective in the country. I'll give you the stats. First in rushing S&P, first in rushing success rate, first in rushing efficiency, first in rushing explosiveness, first in rushing opportunity rate, first in rushing power success rate, first in stuff rate, first in yards per carry nationally. I think you get the point. They're really, really good at running the football. So I can understand why Todd Orlando is going to sell out to try to stop the run. If you subtract the sack yards from Jalen Hurts, he's averaging 10 yards per carry. And like I said, most of those are on busted plays. Here's the thing. He will pull the ball really quickly and decide to run. If you take away his first initial read, the first and the second read, he doesn't really get to his tertiary option. He's going to decide to run it before then. So if Todd Orlando can find some way to, you know, to try to take away his first read, you got to predict that, then maybe he can find some way to mitigate the damage Jalen Hurts is going to do as a runner. But, I was talking about this earlier. They got a lot of other guys. So we talk about Trey Sermon, and Trey Sermon's averaging 7.7 yards a carry. Kennedy Brooks is averaging 8.2 yards per attempt. Stevens, the JUCO transfer, is averaging 11 yards per carry. Man, they're loaded in the backfield. But with potentially two of their starting offensive tackles out, will they be able to impose their will on Texas and win the physicality advantage? I think you got to stop Jalen Hurts. I think if you look at quarterbacks Todd Orlando has faced since 2010 who've led their team in rushing or finished second on the team in rushing, so also led their team in passing, he is 14-12 versus such quarterbacks. Now, you were like, oh, that's not a good, it's not a good record. Listen, Nick Saban has lost 13 games in 10 years. Of the 13 games he's lost have been to quarterbacks who are leading their team in passing or first or second on the team in rushing. If you had a transcendent dual-threat quarterbacks, it is the ultimate equalizer. All right? When the play breaks down, dual-threat quarterback can make something out of nothing. We've seen it at the NFL level. You see it at the college level. So if you're Texas, to me, I think Texas, even though Jalen Hurts is going to be a spark in the juice for the Oklahoma running game, I think Texas needs to use Sam Ehlinger more in the running game. I'll give you a quick stat before we go to break. Sam Ehlinger on design runs. Sam Ehlinger is averaging 6 yards per carry on designed run plays. He's only got 15 of them on the season. He's got 36 scrambles where he's just running around. He's averaging 4 yards per carry on scrambles. But on design runs outside of the red zone, between the 20s, Sam Ehlinger's averaging 8.2 yards per rush on design runs in between the 20s. That's where Texas needs to use him. They need to use him because everybody knows you're going to use Sam in the red zone, and even you have tried to break tendency there. The design runs for Sam, though, in between the 20s, we haven't seen a lot of it. We've seen a little, maybe 10 runs in between the 20s. I think you break out Bam Bam Sam there. We know we're going to see Bam Bam Sam. In the biggest games of the season last year against USC, against Oklahoma, against Georgia, those were the games where you saw Sam Ehlinger carry the ball the most. He had 21 rushing attempts versus Georgia. He had 17 versus USC, 19 versus Oklahoma the first time around, 15 in the Big 12 title game. He had 19 carries versus LSU. He's going to carry the ball a lot. And it's in that time where he's carrying the ball, I think you got to make sure those are design runs inside the 20s. Like, not inside 20, but between the 20s, from 20 to 20. And I think that'll be big. I know because it's all about breaking your tendencies wherever you can. We know Sam can run the ball. He hasn't done a lot this year. I think this year he's broken the mold, right? He's broke the typecast stigma that he could only be a Tim Tebow kind of a Tim Tebow copy, a guy that can be a guy that can pound you in short yardage and in the red zone. No, the truth is, Sam's a way better passer than Tim Tebow. I don't know if he's a better runner than Tim Tebow. I'm not going to say that. But he's a better passer than Tim Tebow is. And we'll see if he can accomplish what Tim Tebow did. I don't know if he has the timeline to do that. But I think people are recognizing now, and even Tom Herman did, no, Sam, even in a tight window, which the red zone is, Sam Ehlinger as a passing threat in the red zone is just as dangerous as Sam as a running threat in the red zone. All right, so we'll come back. We'll get into more of that. But I think, Sam, it's a reason he's averaging 4 yards per carry on scrambles, 6 yards per carry on design runs, 8 yards per carry on design runs between the 20s. He's more productive there because teams don't expect it. We'll come back. We'll get into more of the breakdown and the game plan. We're also going to talk some Texans on the other side. I want to get into this matchup they got with the Chiefs. I think it's a really, really intriguing matchup. I think the NFL should be trying to champion this matchup and promote it as much as possible. I think it could end up, if both of the quarterbacks stay on their trajectory, the next potential Brady Manning great quarterback kind of face-off in the NFL. I know it sounds crazy, but I'll give you some stats that'll back it up. You know, I always got those. We're live from Twin Peaks here in Addison. Come out here and join us. We'll have the roundtable discussion coming up at 3 o'clock. BK's in the building. My man Chad Hastings is here. Everybody's here having a good time. Come on out and join us. This is the Rodcast right here on the Horn, 104.9 and AM 1260. All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. We're going to finish up our, well, at least my Texas OU preview and breakdown. Then we'll get into some Texans talk. I want to talk some Texans, talk some Astros before we get done. Go Astros! Their big series coming up versus the Yankees. I think baseball fans in general have to be really, really excited. At least you have 200-win teams. All right, you got this. You got two Titans facing off in the playoffs. It's probably the best that Major League Baseball could have asked for. I always say the Astros are basically the Warriors of Major League Baseball. They're sexy. Their style of play is really entertaining, aesthetically pleasing. They got star power. They got celebrities. It's a big market. You know what I mean? In terms of the appeal it could have for the younger sports fan, I always put the Astros in the same category with the Warriors. They could have that kind of run and that effect on young sports fans. And, you know, I think they should. It'd be great if they're on TV versus the Yankees and ends up being a classic, all-time great series, man. Everybody's expecting that. So we'll talk more about that a little bit later on. And Garrett Cole's performance in Game 5, I think, is worthy of conversation as well. So with those two topics, let's finish up our conversation. And also our Myers Elgin Sausage Weekend Watch. We'll go over all the big games at the high school level in Central Texas, including Battle of the Lakes, baby. Battle of the Lakes. I heard Dan Neal talking and breaking it down a little bit earlier here on the Horn, and I wish I was in town for the Battle of the Lakes. I know, and Bucky never actually does the color analyst for Lake Travis Westlake because he's always here at Texas OU, and it's always the same weekend. Heard Bucky talking about that a little bit later too. But you talk about one of the greatest high school rivalries, not only in Texas. I gotta say, it's gotta be up there nationally. When you put into the conversation about the great quarterbacks like, you know, Garrett Gilbert, Baker Mayfield from Lake Travis, and the Drew Brees, Nick Foles from Westlake. I mean, it goes deeper. Now it's got NFL roots in this rivalry. It's got Texas OU roots in this rivalry. That is I know some great high school rivalries out there, but I'm telling you, Westlake, Lake Travis has got to be right in that conversation. Okay, let's finish up our Texas OU breakdown. We've been hitting as many factors in the game as possible. Missed tackles. Heard people talking about this, and I'm one of those freaks that tracks missed tackles because I watch way too many games, and I watch the games over and over again. Trust me, my girlfriend hates it that I watch the same game like 5 or 6 times. What are you looking at? Well, I got to track Duvernay's targets when he's behind the line of scrimmage. And she's like, what? Are you insane? No, actually, I need to do this. This is important. So, missed tackles. The Longhorns versus West Virginia, they missed, in my count, 12 tackles. Versus Oklahoma State, they missed 20 tackles. Versus LSU, they missed 9 tackles. The tackles they've missed, I kind of just averaged it out. Those are the Power 5 opponents. I didn't pay attention to Rice or Louisiana Tech, all right? The Power 5 opponents, and that's what I pay attention to. So on average, Texas versus Power 5 opponents, 3 games, have missed 13.6 tackles per game. That's led to 3.6 additional first downs per game versus Power 5 opponents. It's led to 1.3 additional touchdowns per game from Power 5 opponents and 82 additional yards per game because of missed tackles. And they're missing 13.6, almost 14 per game versus Power 5 opponents. They got to clean it up versus Oklahoma. You can't have that. Versus Oklahoma, Jalen Hurts and, oh, man, Trey Sermon and CeeDee Lamb and Rambo and Cal Katera and Kennedy Brooks, man, you can't be missing tackles. They did that versus LSU, and LSU put a whipping on them. So they got if they're missing a lot of tackles, bad omen. Bad omen. They got to force turnovers. Here's the key. Remember last year, I've always said this, there are certain trends you can pay attention to in this matchup, and turnovers is one of them. And since 1999, when I was playing on the 40 acres, and that was a long, 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 long time ago, the team that wins the turnover margin in the Texas OU game is 16-3 since 1999. 16-3. In 2013, both teams had two. That was a push. That's important. Remember last year in the Texas OU game, Texas lost the rushing battle. And the team that wins the rushing battle wins the game since 1999. They win, I think they're 17-2. Team that wins the rushing battle. I think in 2006, both teams had 124. That was a push. So usually you win the rushing battle, you win the game. Texas last year lost the rushing battle but won the game. Why? OU turned it over three times. So Todd Orlando's defenses. Here's the cheat code for Todd Orlando. If Todd Orlando has a really bad day, his defenses are bad, those corners are terrible, the defensive line doesn't have the advantage. If all things fail, just create turnovers. Since 2015, Todd Orlando's defenses are 3-6 when they allow 500-plus yards. They force at least three turnovers in each win. Nine total in three wins. In the six losses, three total turnovers combined force in the six losses. So when he forces turnovers, it doesn't matter how many yards they give up. It doesn't matter how many points they give up. I know it sounds crazy, but Texas last year was 2-3. When they allowed 500-plus yards total. They were 2-2 when allowing 180-plus rush yards. They were 1-1 when allowing 40-plus points. They forced at least two turnovers in each win. No matter if they gave up 180 rushing yards, 500-plus total yards, or 40-plus points. And they forced one total turnover in the losses combined. If Todd Orlando's defense sucks, it's just about forcing turnovers. Last week versus West Virginia, it wasn't great. They gave up 463 total yards. Four turnovers, done deal. Versus Louisiana Tech, 413 total yards they allowed. Three turnovers, all good. Oklahoma State, they allowed 494 total yards, almost 500. Two turnovers for us, all good. You know what I mean? It's about situational defense and about forcing turnovers. Right now, Texas right now, third nationally in interceptions with nine. And how about this? Since Tom Herman has been the head coach at Texas, they have not turned the ball over in the original Texas OU game, the State Fair Street Fight. They haven't turned it over once. Sam Ellinger's got the record for pass attempts without an interception. I mean, it's so, you know, to me, I think Texas has an advantage there. He's not careless with the football, and Tom Herman's teams don't turn the football over in this environment. And turnovers are so big in this game. Here's a lesson from me, personally. When I played in 2002 in the Texas OU game, I returned a pick for a touchdown. Pick six might be one of the greatest moments in the history of my career, ever. Great moment. I watch it on YouTube every now and then just when I feel bad about myself. All right? The very next play after I returned a pick six, and I Tebow before Tebow did it, they return a kickoff 67 yards, I believe, down in deep into our territory, and then score a touchdown while we were up 14-3 after my pick six. We ended up being up 14-9. They go for a two-point conversion. Why? Because Bob Stoops understands momentum. And he wanted to snatch all the momentum we had from my pick six. He wanted to nullify it. Not only with the kickoff return, the pick six, but then he went for a two-point conversion. And by the time they scored the two-point conversion, it was 14-11, and nobody ever remembered my pick six. It was done. It didn't matter. It was an irrelevant detail in the game. At that point, everybody cared about the score. And the momentum is big. Here's some examples, right? In 1999, my only win against OU, we were down 17-0 in that game. Came back and won it 38-28, partially because Mike Leach leaked out a dummy script to the Texas assistant coaches who fell for it hook, line, and sinker and thought it was the real script, and then they kind of rebuilt the game plan around that fake script. And then I think around the first quarter they said to themselves, there's no way this is the actual script that they're working with. They tried to fool us, and they did. Mike Leach later admitted it was all part of his ruse. 2017, OU led Texas 20-0. Then Texas took the lead 24-23. Texas ended up losing that game 29-24. Momentum shifts. And they last for such long periods of time. 2018, Texas led 45-24, right? Then they end up, then Oklahoma comes back, ties the game in the fourth quarter at 45. Then UT ends up winning 48-45. Big 12 title game, same thing. Texas led 14-6. Then OU takes the lead 27-14, gets tied at 27. Oklahoma wins 39-27. It's going to go back and forth. Don't get freaked out if Texas gets down or if Texas gets up. No reason to freak out. It's kind of the way this game works out. OU should and will target the Texas cornerbacks. LSU versus the Texas cornerbacks. Joe Burrow targeted the Texas cornerback 15 times. He did 13 of those 15 passes for 87% completion percentage, 216 yards, one touchdown, one two-point conversion. Just targeting the corners alone. West Virginia, Neil Brown is a really observant coach. I'm telling you, Neil Brown's game plan was awesome. He threw the ball the first like 7-8 plays against Texas, and he threw the ball early on first down. I told you about that's kind of the Achilles heel for the pass defense for Texas. West Virginia targeting Texas corners, though. They were 10 of 15, 67% completion percentage, but they threw it for four first downs, one touchdown, ended up getting a PI, but he also threw two picks. When targeting Texas corners because Deshaun Jameson had two picks. But they had three completions of 20-plus yards, five completions of 12-plus yards against those Texas corners. That's going to be big because Jalen Hurts is better than Austin Kendall. Way better. Not as good as Joe Burrow, but way better than Austin Kendall. And how will OU decide to defend the Texas wide receivers? Colin Johnson is the worst nightmare for OU DBs. I called him Mr. 50-50 last year because more than 50% of the time he was targeted, it resulted in a first down or a touchdown last year. The passer rating on deep balls when he was targeted was 140, best in the Big 12. His deep ball catch rate last year, 54%. He actually was third in the Big 12 in 15-yard catches or more. And Sam's deep ball passer rating is one of the best. Last year it was 126.3, best in the Big 12, second in the Power 5, fourth in the FBS. My point is, if Colin Johnson is back 100% with Devin Duvernay, the little shop of horrors matchup that he is, then OU is in trouble because they can't double both. Colin Johnson, he was the worst nightmare for Oklahoma last year. He was an absolute monster against them. And I think now that he's back and he's healthy, you could get a situation where those guys on the field at the same time, OU's putting a conundrum. They don't know who to double. On Oklahoma DBs last year, Colin Johnson had 14 catches in those two games, 258 total yards and two touchdowns. They got trouble trying to figure that guy out. And Devin Duvernay, I'll give you a quick stat on Devin Duvernay before we go to break. And I love this stat. Devin Duvernay is just a monster in a lot of ways. But I was doing the breakdown on him, and turns out that Devin Duvernay, when he either touches or targets, all right, I did touches and targets because he's ran the ball a couple of times. If you look at his touches and targets, he gets a first down or a touchdown 62% of the time that you give him a touch in the running game or you even target him. You throw the football in his direction. Isn't that awesome? Like, that's how productive that dude is. OU will have a plan to try to stop him, but they can't stop him and Colin Johnson at the same time. That's going to be hard. All right, and we'll come back. We'll talk more about that because I think that wide receiver advantage Texas has over the DBs of Oklahoma, I think we can get deeper into that. We'll do that when we come back. Also, get into our Myers-Elgin Sausage Weekend Watch, and we'll give you all of the upcoming big games at the high school level in Central Texas. And we'll also throw in some Astros, throw in some Texas. We'll cram as much as we can in into the next few minutes. All that and more right here on the broadcast. This is The Horn, 104.9 and AM 1260.
Player Watch brought to you by Myers-Elgin Sausage. The only real football is Texas football. And nothing goes better with your tailgate party than Myers-Elgin Sausage. Real Texas, real good.
All right, welcome back. back to the Rodcast. We're hanging out here at Twin Peaks in Addison, getting ready for our round table. Got some fans that are really excited. All right. It is 2:49 and OU still sucks. But let's get into our Myers Elgin Sausage Weekend Watch. Talk about some of the high school football action here in Central Texas. We've got some great matchups. Of course, everybody's concerned with the Battle of the Lakes. You do have Westlake and Lake Travis facing off. Just, you know what, I guess I got to give a pick in that game. I don't know, man. I think I'm leaning Westlake in that game. It's going to be a tight one. It's going to be tough. Vandergrift versus McNeil, also another matchup happening here in Central Texas. Going to be good. Leander versus Round Rock. Weiss versus Elgin, speaking of the sausage capital of Texas. They're facing off this weekend. Stony Point with a big game versus Vista Ridge. Cedar Park versus Georgetown. A little Pflugerville matchup, a little rivalry there, a little in community rivalry between Pflugerville and Pflugerville-Connolly. Eastview versus Bastrop, also facing off this weekend. Dripping Springs versus LBJ Austin. Lehman versus Del Valley. You also have Lockhart versus Bernie Champion. Marble Falls versus Brenham. Fredericksburg versus Liberty Hill. Austin High facing off against Hayes. Big matchup there in that district. LaGrange facing off against Royal. Cedar Creek versus Glenn. We talked about the Battle of the Lakes. You got Lago Vista versus Rockdale in another matchup as well. So you got a lot of big matchups, but none bigger than the Battle of the Lakes, Westlake, Lake Travis this weekend. That's our Myers Elgin Sausage Weekend Watch, previewing all of the high school football action happening in Central Texas this weekend. Lots of Friday night lights action. Of course, the place you need to keep it tuned in for all of your Friday night lights action is right here on 104.9 The Horn, or go to the Horn website as well, and I'll get the Horn app. The Horn app is probably the best way to do it. That way you don't have to worry about anything. You can have all the access to all the games on the Horn app. Go get downloaded right now. My friends at Myers Elgin Smoked Sausage, of course, there's the best tailgating compliment of any meal out there. I love when I smell the irresistible aroma of Myers Elgin Smoked Sausage. You can find it wherever you do grocery shopping, at Walmart, HEB, Randall, City Market, Fiesta, select independent grocery stores. Myers Elgin Smoked Sausage, real good. Real Texas, real good. That's Myers Elgin Smoked Sausage. And I got to tell you, when I get home after the show, there's a good chance I usually just fry up some Myers Elgin Smoked Sausage for lunch. Kind of a late lunch for me, but that's usually it's kind of part of my routine. So make it part of your routine too, Myers Elgin Smoked Sausage. All right, real quick, Texans, Kansas City. I wanted to give you a stat about the matchup between Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson really quickly. We're getting ready to start our round table. Got my man Chad Hastings here. E. Hogan getting ready to get on the microphone as well. All right, guys, here's a great stat, and I got it from NFL Research. This is about the matchup between Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson this weekend. According to NFL Research, Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson are first and second, respectively, in career passer rating all time with a minimum of 20 games. Their combined passer rating of 217.8 will be the highest by opposing QBs entering a matchup in the Super Bowl era. That could potentially, if Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes stay on this kind of trajectory, Patrick Mahomes already an MVP. Deshaun Watson, if he's kept straight, kept upright, all right, and not battered and bruised, he is proven he can be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Last week's performance, where he has as many touchdowns, 5 as incompletions. He's got his cleats going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame because that game was so extraordinary. I think, I guess there would be a Texas fan, me getting high on my own horse. I think Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, and I said Deshaun Watson, I would take him over any young quarterback other than Mahomes. Next Peyton Manning, next Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, kind of quarterback face-off in the NFL. And I guess I'll say that confidently. If I'm going to project any two young quarterbacks to reach that kind of platform, I don't know. I think right now Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watson may be in that stratosphere. All right. We also congrats to the Astros. Go Astros! Who ended up getting to the ALCS. They're going to face the Yankees. Here's a great stat about the Yankees and the Astros. Love this stat. It's the fifth postseason series between 100-win teams in the last three playoffs. There are zero such series between 100-win teams from 1978. Zero such series between 100-win teams from 1978 to through 2016. And yet we've had in the last three postseason five such series. And the Yankees and Astros is a clash of the titans. So looking forward to that. Of course, if you're an Astros fan. And we'll look forward to the Texas OU game. I've given my pick several times. And usually I'll flip-flop, all right? I've waffled before Texas OU week. I haven't waffled this week. I picked Texas on Monday, and I'm picking again on Friday. And it might change on Saturday morning. Who knows if I learn something new. But right now I'm taking Texas. I think they have the advantage in the trenches. And this game is a state fair street fight. It's always won with the big boys in the trenches. I want to thank my man Sam for doing a great job producing the show. I want to thank my man Joe here for On the Spot hooking it up. Don't go anywhere. More thorough breakdown of the Texas OU game and our roundtable. Chad hosting things. E. Hogan's out here. I'm out here. We'll come right back to you. Live from Twin Peaks. This is the Rodcast right here on the Horn. 104.9 and AM 1260. Peace.
Hope you're ready for the next episode. Hey.